This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we just want to remain in your presence here this morning, Lord God. And Father, in my heart, I just sense that, Lord, just that we can just continue to worship you today, Lord. Just to lift our hands and our hearts, Lord, and declare that you are the great I am. That you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That you said, let there be light, and there was light, Lord. That you are our Creator, our Father. That you gave us life, that you give us spiritual life. Father, and that we can just say that we are small, Lord God, and that you are so big, Lord God. You are so wonderful. We can just proclaim your goodness, Lord God. At the top of our voices, we can just shout and dance before you and say, Lord, that our hearts, our spirits cry out, Abba, Father, Lord. We belong to you. What a privilege, Lord, to be children of a living God. Oh, Lord, come and fill our hearts, Lord, your spirit, just to a greater degree and a greater measure, Lord God. Lord God, that we want to follow you, that we want to be obedient to your will, Lord God, to what you are calling us to in this season, Lord God, and in this life, Lord God. Open our hearts, Lord, for the sound of the harvest. Lord, let the good news be on our lips. That we want to proclaim it day and night, Lord God. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we can worship you here. Standing in your presence, Lord God. And just looking away from everything that happened in the week, Lord God, and just our focus and our attention, just bringing it to you, Lord. Just want to say hallelujah and amen. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, Freddie, I believe we want to just continue to worship today. But thank you, band, worship team. I was such a, you can sit, thank you so much. It was such a, in the Afrikaans service as well, it just felt if we just want to continue to worship, stay in that place of just lifting our voices and lifting our hands to our Lord and our Savior and just proclaiming His goodness. So, Freddie, we're going to continue next Sunday. Hopefully this afternoon, evening service at 6 o'clock, there we've got the opportunity to worship once again. So today I'm going to share a little bit shorter. I'm going to try my best to keep the sermon a little bit shorter. With all the rest of our Shofar family, we've got our global prayer and fast. So that means in our small groups, in our zones, we will somewhere, it will not all be at the same time, but we will consecrate this month to our global prayer and fast, where we as churches are building up and praying, especially for our Convergence Conference, which will be from 6 to 8 September. It will be, I think, in Johannesburg and in Somerset West. But we are so privileged. We will stream it here via the internet, so we will receive God's word right here in church. So that weekend, it will be a nice ministry-filled weekend from the Friday evening onwards, the Saturday and up to the Sunday, where I think Pastor Heinrich Titus will be preaching on the Sunday morning right here in our church, but on the big screen. So I'm looking forward to that. So this morning, we're going to end off with communion, and there's about a seven-minute video that we will watch all together, where he just explains a little bit about the heart of Convergence and just this prayer and fast that we are building up to. And then we will just, in groups of four or five, turn to each other and then pray. It's important. We will start by praying this week, every week for the next 3 weeks, every weekend or Sunday morning, we will have different prayer points. So this morning, we are praying for our own hearts. Okay, we're going to start by praying for our own hearts that we will hear the sound of the harvest, as Pastor Heinrich will explain. So I like to talk sometimes. Sometimes I just like to keep quiet. So, but I'm going to stay, try and staying within the 30 minutes today, which is a great challenge. Otherwise, we're not going to get to the video and the prayer, something that we really have to do. So in my own life, the past while, the good news is not something I've discovered yesterday, but it's just something I'm so passionate about lately. And I think the more sometimes I talk to people about things like Bible school or the Encounters Foundations, and then I say, just, you know, you won't make a mistake to do Bible school one, twice, or three times, or four times. I've been doing it for many years over and over, and I just love it more. The more we read Scripture, we don't get bored by it. If we do, we're doing something wrong, you know. But the more I read the Word of God, the more I pray, the more I spend time with God, you know, the more I just love God. And this morning, especially in the past while, we just finished in July, starting at the end of June, beginning of July, we had a 4 weeks sermon series where we started with the good news and the change that the gospel brings in our lives, new life and new desires and a new commandment and etc. So in a sense, it just feels to me, if we are just continuing on that route, in a sense, building up through this month of the global prayer and fast, working towards convergence, but a little bit more on that a little bit later on. So today I'm going to share a little bit about the Apostle Paul. I love Paul. And I'm just going to look at 10 verses from Acts chapter 20, where he, you know, Paul was spending about 3 years building up the church in Ephesus. He spent a lot of time there teaching, loving the people, leading them to Christ, preaching the good news. And, you know, here we've got a situation, just to give you a little bit of background and context, where after the 3 years, Paul actually left Corinth, left Ephesus. He went to Corinth, spent the winter there, and now he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And he wants to really get to Pentecost. But before that, he just wants to spend some time with that old familiar faces, the people he loved, the people he know, the elders in the church of Ephesus. So, you know, when we, in the Afrikaans service, there were a lot more younger people. So, you know, but when there's someone who's 60, turning 60, 70, 80 years old, my kids are so privileged. They've got their great-grandmother still alive at, I think, 88, 89. It's amazing to know someone so old that has lived so long. What a privilege. But you know, when someone is at the age of that, and there's a birthday celebration, and someone like that get an opportunity to share a heart, their heart, and to talk, you know, you can listen to that heart. When there's something like a wedding, and a husband or a father or someone is giving a speech, you know, there will be words from the heart, because it's an important get-together of friends and family and loved ones. Sometimes at funerals, when there's an opportunity for people to share a little bit, you know, there will be words from the heart. So here we've got a situation where Paul says, as I said, he was on his way to Jerusalem, and here when he arrives in, I must always get Miletus, it's about 20 kilometers from Ephesus, almost Walvis Bay type of a distance, and then he sends for the elders, and he says, guys, I want to see you again, but this is the last time. I'm not going to probably see your faces again, you know. So when we read this 10 verses in Acts chapter 20 from verse 17 to 27, we know Paul is speaking to a group of people, group of believers, Christians, probably for the last time. Now Paul, I've got so much respect for him. I believe he was such a strategist. So he had this plan. He wanted them to see. So I believe he planned what he wanted to say to them. You look at the book of Romans and you read through it and you study, we all agree it's a very easy book to read. Amen? No, it's difficult. I'm not as clever as you guys. It's difficult. Because if you read Paul giving an exposition of the gospel there, the way he wrote it, you see the author, which was the Holy Spirit, but Paul as well, this was an anointed man. It's not a 12-year-old child that was writing here. Okay, so I believe Paul had this message in his heart that he wanted to convey to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. And as I said, I believe in life, when there's an opportunity to have this last moment talking to people, you're going to talk sense. Okay, so you can follow with me. Marika has given us the font that I think it almost, the Bible, almost the, when it was written, it looked something like this. Almost, do you agree? It almost looks like real scripture in a sense. You've got it there as well. Thanks, Marike, for your hard work always helping us. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 27. I'm quickly going to read through that, and then we will look at that before we end with the prayer. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And they came to him. He said to them, "You yourselves know I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greek of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 22, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Verse 24, "But I do not account of my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Words spoken by Paul to a group of people that he really loved. So just to see and check if everyone is awake, what do you think? Did Paul write this part of Acts towards more the beginning of his ministry or more towards the end of his ministry? Who wrote Acts? Paul didn't write Acts. Luke wrote it. Okay, so it's not about the end or the beginning of his ministry. Luke wrote Acts. Luke was the physician. He was Paul's traveling companion. So the words that we see here is from an eyewitness. It's from Luke's pen, from Luke's heart. Okay, so it seems that Paul wrote it, but it's not. Paul wrote Ephesians and he wrote Philippians and Corinthians and Romans, etc. But this is actually Luke that was writing here. He was traveling with Paul. He saw the stuff that happening to Paul. And, you know, just having during the week a conversation with one of my friends in church. And I think when Paul visited your church, I think the small little children wanted to run away. You know why? Paul was a man that he says, he writes there, he was five times, he received 40 stripes minus one from the Jews. Two times he was beaten with rods and clubs. Once he was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was cold and he was hungry. So Paul came there and he probably looked, and I'm saying it not to be funny, but someone who was attacked by a lion or something like that. What does a man look like after he was stoned but he's still alive? What do you look like after you've beaten with rods and clubs twice? After you received almost 200 lashes from the Romans? You don't come there like the great American evangelist with plastic surgery and nice clothes and a nice car. You come there as someone who's showing the scars of ministry, of being obedient to Christ, this calling that you received, but you're there in the flesh as a broken person. I think Paul looked scary in many ways just because of what he says about himself and the hardships that he went through. So he starts, let's look at verse 17. He says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and the people came to him." Verse 18, "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from that first day.'" And Paul is just speaking about his own testimony, about his own life. And it just speaks to me and it challenges me, okay, because Paul says to the people, "I'm not going to repent for starting a war. I'm not going to repent for being drunk. I'm not going to be repenting for being lazy or anything like that. You know what my life was like. You know the dignity I had. You know the man who I was. You know, it's important that we as Christians and the church follow in these footsteps. Why? Because the world outside is watching us. Do you agree? Do you know that? They want to see if Christ is real. They want to know if we are the same when we lift our hands here and when we are at home. All the married people, very often we have to say, I apologize. I'm sorry because I behaved well. I said something to someone at my wife, my kids, somewhere. Maybe I have to say, sorry, forgive me for saying a bad remark or losing my temper or not apologizing or saying please or thank you or something like that. You know, we constantly have to grow in our character. But Paul here says, you know how I lived among you, not just on Sunday mornings, but all the time. You know what my character was like. I was serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and the trials and everything that happened to me. You know who I am and what I was like. Then he continues to verse 20 to this group of precious people and says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching. Now, shrink isn't Shrek's little small brother or something from the animation, okay? Shrink is a word that we can look, and it's sometimes when something is scary or frightening and you don't take a step back. You know, it's a word where you almost run towards something that might be challenging. Not always easy, but Paul says, listen, I never ever took a step back and say, this is not a good day for preaching, I'm afraid today, I don't feel like it, or anything like that. Paul was declaring. That means he was proclaiming the good news. He was talking about Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And then further on, everything that was profitable to him. And then he says, and teaching you in public and from house to house. There, between people, there in your houses, Paul was teaching. Now just imagine Bible school with the Apostle Paul. Go and study Corinthians, Ephesians, the book of Romans. What a teacher Paul must have been. I mean, yeah, we've got it in the Word, and even theologians, scholars, when we work through all of this and we look at the depth, then we know God's hand for certain is in there. But also, this is a man, as I said, it's not grade 5 child that was writing here. It was a man that thought things through, that had structure, that had purpose, that knew what he wanted to say. Paul was teaching them, he was preaching to them, he was proclaiming to them. Now, just something, I mean, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then obviously he said he was testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. Paul wasn't someone that says, listen, I'm just going to speak to the rich, or just to the poor, or just to the men, or just to the women. Paul was preaching to everyone. Everyone and everything that had ears, Paul was preaching and teaching the gospel to, in house to house, from house to house, and in public. Now, that just reminds me of what God does in our lives when we get born again, when we get filled with the Spirit, and our hearts start to stir, when we start to understand how bad the bad news is, you know, about our sins and God's coming wrath if you're not a repented Christian. And then Paul talks about the good news, okay? But here, early on in Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, we just see the same pattern, in a sense, in terms of Peter and John. I just quickly want to read it for you, Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, because we can see Paul didn't shrink back from teaching and preaching. He was excited to do it. And we see here such a beautiful example in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. It says, so they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling you about everything we have seen and heard. And this same pattern, Peter and John is just here like, we'll take whatever comes our way, but we cannot keep quiet. What we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced, we cannot keep quiet. Sometimes we're a little bit quiet. Sometimes we need to be a little bit vocal and bold, like John and James, or Peter and John, and then Paul, who couldn't keep quiet about what's happening in our lives, the good news of Christ, proclaiming that day to day. So the Christian witness is just so precious. We've got this opportunity to share about Christ, to talk people through that. And then, of course, he ends verse 21 with just about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Something, and I will come back to that point at the end of the sermon, you know, just where repentance is just about the necessary. Repentance is necessary because all people, both Jews and Greeks and Gentiles, have sinned and will face God's judgment one day. That's the harsh reality. Sin entered this world through one man, Adam, but now there's good news. Good news that need to be proclaimed. Good news that need to be shared. In verse 22, when I read it, it's something that challenges me so much. Let's read there, verse 22. "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Paul says, I know I need to go to Jerusalem. I know that's where God is calling me to. But I know there's hardship waiting. I know there's challenges that is awaiting me in there in Jerusalem. Let's just have a quickly look at that word constraint. And sometimes I just want to take a quick stop and just apply a hermeneutical principle or two. Now, one of them is a lexical syntactical analysis, which sounds very complicated. But it's actually just like studying the definition of that word, of a specific word, and the relationship of that word to other words in that same sentence or passage or paragraph. Now, that word constraint, we can so easily just read through it and continue to the next verse. Sometimes I think we should read a little bit slower and a little bit less and dig a little bit deeper than just rush through our own quiet time. That word means, that Greek word diu means to bind, to tie, or to constrain. That's an indication that the Holy Spirit was giving Paul an exceptionally strong sense of compulsion that he had to go quickly and directly to Jerusalem. Now, if I say to you, I mean, we all came dressed warm. We all have two or three layers of clothes on. Why? Because we know it's cold. And we don't want to sit and shiver here, in a sense. We are very good at managing ourselves and avoiding pain or anything like that. When we talk about fasting, I'm the first that say it's challenging to me. It's challenging to my body. Any amens? Amen. Okay. I was fasting of sun the past 3 days. Just as I says the words, the sun come out. Because there wasn't sun in Swakopmund the past 3 days. So it felt like fasting from something. But here the thing is, Paul is not living the American dream. He's not living this life of me, myself, and I, and my what is profitable to me. Paul says, I know I'm constrained by the Spirit. I have to go. The Spirit has got a hold of me. I know I need to go to Jerusalem, but there might be more clubs, more stones, more whips waiting for me, more people that's going to spit in my face, more people that's going to laugh or mock me. But I know I need to go there. And that's very far removed from our mindset, our basically Western mindset in terms of comfort, my rights, etc. Paul says, I will go, even if there's hardship awaiting me. And then if we continue to verse 24, there's an important word. It says, but. See the connection between verse 22, 23, and in verse 24. Paul says, I know I need to go there. I'm constrained by the Spirit to go. I know I have to go. But the Spirit says to me, there's hardship coming. And then in verse 24, he says, but I do not. He explains it in a sense to this group of Ephesian elders. And he says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. Going to wait and see if we say amen. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. You need to, I'm honest. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Because I know we're not there completely. I'm not judging. I'll put up my hand as well. Listen what Paul says. He says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. I will guarantee that 95% of us or more don't wake up with that attitude. 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I don't know what time in the day. Do we? It's challenging. It's very challenging. That's where Paul says, but, and he gives this reason. And then he says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now that word course was in a Greek term referring almost to an athletic barn track. Think Velvica Stadium in time, about 160 to 190 meters. There was a start and there was a finish. Paul's race has started. He's on this course. He's running it. And he knows there's a finishing line. He knows there's a place where the bell will ring or something will happen and it's the end. And Paul is saying, I don't value my life that much as I want to stay faithful and running this course. He says, I want to finish this course and the ministry. What was Paul's ministry? Proclaiming the good news, talking about the gospel, teaching it, preaching it, proclaiming it, sharing it. And it says there actually that in all of Asia, everyone heard the gospel. Paul explains and he continues and he says, I receive this ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knows what his calling is. Paul knows where he's going. Paul knows this message that's written on his heart, that the Holy Spirit is stirring in him all the time. Paul says, my goal is not to stay alive, but my goal is to stay faithful to this race, on this course. My goal is to stay on this course. I'm seeing the finish line, and I'm running. And it's almost like rocks and stuff are flying all between. Paul goes to Jerusalem, and he says, the Spirit of God says to me, hardship awaits me, but I will go. Why? Because I cannot take a step back. I cannot shrink from what God has called me. I have to run. I have to stay faithful. And I believe it's so challenging to us because we are so not there many times. When we pray at 5:30, or we go here, or we go there, whatever. I love the faces when I see outreaches. I love it, you know. But for us as the bigger church, there's so much growing in that area still. So Paul just want to run this race. He just want to be a witness. He want to proclaim the good news. He want to proclaim the gospel. Then we continue in verse 25, and he says to this beloved group of church leaders that he will probably not see again at this stage, and he says, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God will see my face again. Self-explaining. And in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul says, I don't have to return. I'm not going to write you another letter. I'm not going to send you anything, okay? Because I know I gave you the A to Z of God's good news. I explained to you that Jesus was born, all the prophecies was pointing to Jesus Christ, that Jesus was born, that he ministered, that the signs and the wonders and the miracles happened through Jesus' life. That Jesus died on a cross, that he gave his life, that he rose again, okay? And that he appeared to many people afterwards. And then he ascended to the Father, and that he's coming back. Paul has explained all of this. And Paul says, listen, I wasn't afraid to talk to you about baptism or speaking in tongues or tithing. Sometimes in our workplaces, in our families, we will talk about God is good and the love of God and I'm God's child, but baptism or the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or praying in tongues or speaking in tongues or anything like that. Then we say, I'll speak about X, Y, and Z, but A and B is a bit challenging. Paul says, I'm okay. I know what God called me to do. I know I've preached it to you. And then he basically says, I will not have any blood on my hands. For those who came into the kingdom of God, I will see them. They are my brothers and my sisters. And those who reject the gospel, well, you have to take what comes your way one day when Jesus Christ will judge. Okay? Paul says, I did my part. I preached the gospel. Now, the first prayer point that we will do today and next week and the week after, there will be different prayer points, is we will pray, not because I say so, but our shofar global leader, Pastor Heinrich, that first prayer point says that we need to pray for the ears and eyes of our heart to open to the harvest. Not for the Satanists to be praying. We're praying for the church. We're praying for ourselves to be moved, to be hungry, to be awake and sensitive to the harvest that needs to come in. Now, I just want to take a quick step back in terms of Paul speaking and preaching here, sharing his father's heart in a sense to a group of church leaders with whom he labored intensely, whom he built up. And we can see at verse 31, 33, we can see when Paul left and they greeted each other, there was crying. You know, they really loved him. He wasn't a harsh master or something. Paul was a father to them. I just want to take a quick step back to Acts 7. What happened in Acts 7? It was the stoning of Stephen. Okay, I think the first martyr in the church. Acts chapter 22, verse 20, refers to Saul that became Paul. Saul, was standing there. And you can read with me. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those killing him. Paul was standing there and say, take a bigger rock. Throw again that guy is not dead yet. We should kill him. I'll watch over your garments. I'll approve and I'll watch as this Christian spiritful person is being killed in a way that most of us cannot understand, cannot comprehend in our day and age. The Red Cross, the United Nations, Human Watch, and all those organizations, they were not there. There were none of that. There were nothing like that. Stephen was killed in a brutal way. And Paul, or Saul, was standing there and saying, make sure this person is dead. In Acts chapter 8, we read, in verse 1 it says, and Saul approved of his execution. And then verse 2, and there arose in the day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, devout men, buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering from house to house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. You have to stomach this, okay? He was ravaging the church. Paul and his men came there with clubs and horses and whatever, and he pulled you by your ears and your hair, and he dragged you to prison, no matter if you're young or old, no matter if your back was paining, no matter if you had a bad hair day, no matter what happening to your small little baby or your father, someone you're looking after, he took you to prison. Was prison a nice place 2,000 years ago? Was Human Rights and the Red Cross and all of those guys there? No. Paul hated the church. He hated the Christians. And he was saying, take a bigger rock. Stone Stephen. He must die. He was watching. He was approving. Verse Acts chapter 8 says the same thing. Paul approved of that. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 20. Christians greeting here Paul in tears, loving him. Do you see what the power of the good news is? Of the gospel is, of God's saving graces. There was a man who was stood by, and as Stephen was dying a terrible death, he was approving. He loved what was happening. And after that, he said, give me permission that I can destroy this church of Jesus because it's blasphemy. I hate it. That's how strong Paul felt about that. Paul the Pharisee, Saul, you know who I'm talking about, Saul the Pharisee. But here in Acts chapter 20, we see a guy who says, I'll take the shots. I'll go to Jerusalem. No matter what happens to my life, I want to stay on this course. It's better to lose my life than to waste it. Okay, because Paul received his ministry from Jesus. Paul didn't just have a quick turnaround or something. He was born again. He entered into the kingdom of God. And I wonder sometimes when Paul was there on a ship, walking somewhere, if you go and see Paul's missionary journeys, they didn't take a week or two, take months and years even. And he thought about Stephen. He felt so much guilt about who he was. But this is why he was so sold out after he met Jesus. That after killing that first martyr and ravaging the church, he's a man that says, Lord, I'll preach the gospel. I will not shrink away from anything. I will proclaim the A to Z, the whole council. I'll do it with a smile on my face. I will take whatever comes my way. What an example. Not just of a good person, but as a born-again, worst type of sinner. How do we say that I I can't say it even that I can sin, I can steal that envelope, but I don't want to do anything against God's church. And that is how strong. Paul was blinded. He was outside the kingdom. But just see the beauty of his heart. Speaking to this church, 3 years he spent time building it up, proclaiming the good news, teaching them the full gospel. Probably the whole Romans was in his Bible school, if I can put it like that. And there in tears, people are greeting this man. That's the transformation of the good news, of the gospel. Do you know what? Today, 2,000 years later, just as powerful, just as beautiful. See it in my own life. See it in my wife. See it in my family. See it in the church of people that turn around. How beautiful, how precious the power of the gospel. That's why Paul can say in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. Because he knows. He was hating the church, transformed into this person writing a third of the New Testament. We're going to pray just now about the sound of the harvest and the lost sheep. But I'll just quickly try and summarize in 6 points. Pray for me. 6 points. Okay. You must laugh. It's like church, don't we? Stay busy. Okay. 6 points. I'll make it quick. Verse 18. Just the way that Paul says, the way I lived among you. Guys, we need to keep our testimonies honorable as the church. People are looking at us. They want to see if we are real on a Monday and a Sunday and a Wednesday and every day. Point number two, how Paul did not shrink from declaring anything that was profitable. Paul was probably afraid here somewhere in his flesh, but he says, I will preach the good news. And I will preach all of that. Point number three, he had one message for the Jews and the Greeks alike. The necessity of repenting from sin and turning towards God in faith, by faith in Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel. Not shying away from sharing that with whoever wants to listen. Amen. Point number four, verse 22, the obedience to God. His goal was not to stay alive and have a good life, retiring at the age of 60 in a little house by the sea. Paul wanted to stay on this course, which started, and he knew there's an end, and he wanted to be faithful towards this ministry that he received from Jesus Christ. What do you need to be faithful to? What course are you on today? There was times in my life, in my ministry, I felt like, God, I can't anymore. I had it. I'm tired. This or that. We all feel like that sometimes. Okay? But what is God asking you to be faithful to be obedient to, even if it doesn't feel good, even if it's challenging? We need to think it through. Paul sets the ultimate example. Verse 24, if he says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord. He says, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it with you and I'll do it for you. But I cannot give up. I cannot turn my back on you. Even if there's a scary ministry in Jerusalem waiting, I will do it. Amen. Last point, verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. Church, I remember as a young Christian, there were always things, Sebastian and you guys, you've been to Stellenbosch Shofar, you know, that sometimes I invited a friend and I think, oh, I hope this and that does just don't happen because it might be challenging to a new person and then it's like chaos and Holy Spirit and all of those good things happening. Sometimes there's parts, as I said, in our families, we'll talk about church and the word, but you know, there's certain areas, maybe baptism or this or that, tithing, and there's something that, oh God, I can't have that conversation. But Paul could say, there's no blood on my hands. Ek is rustig. I did what I had to do. It's challenging for us. And I'm not saying to us, we should be exactly like Paul. God gives us time to grow in our relationship, to grow to a place of maturity where we can stand with him. So I believe it's just beautiful and precious to look at these last words of Paul towards the church, but to see it in a little bit bigger context, who Paul was, killing the first, standing by, approving the killing of Stephen, and how he was transformed, where his heart is just overflowing, and he's so passionate about Jesus Christ and his words. And we can take a few things from these 10 verses, I believe, how rich God's word is, how powerful God's word is. So I'm going to ask you now, we're going to end off. I want to ask you to turn into groups like 3, 4, 5. It doesn't really matter. We're going to watch the video from Pastor Heinrich Titus, just explaining a little bit about the global prayer and fast, building up to convergence next month. And then I'm going to ask you, there will be prayer points where we will just pray. So I'm going to just give you time. When you're finished, you can just leave quietly. So we're going to watch the video. And then afterwards, pray. If there's anyone you want to talk about something or pray about something, I will remain here.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.